We put this festival on, you bastards, with a lot of love. We work for 1 year for you pigs. And you want to break our walls down? And you want to destroy it? Well, you go to hell. We put this festival on, you bastards, with a lot of love. We work for 1 year for you pigs. And you want to break our walls down? And you want to destroy it? Well, you go to hell.
Yeah. It's the Fatback Four. Crystal Palace 1, Liverpool 2. A hard-fought win for the Reds. Ian, I'm going to come to you as always because you're my favourite. I'm not going to do the lineup because I think it was what we probably expected. What I'm going to go to you is how important a win was that and the type of win that we got, because I've heard a lot of people over the last 24 hours or so say that's the sort of win that the likes of United have done for years on end. And that game yesterday was one that we pulled it out of the bag, and especially with the results today, Chelsea, I suppose. How big a win was it for you?
Klopp said it in the press conference afterwards, mate. That's as big a win as a 5-0, coming from 2-1 down against a team who's a bit of a bogey side, primarily at Anfield. Forget what type of results Man U get. In years gone by, Liverpool don't win those type of games. We've been accused, especially by me and people on this pod, of being mentally weak for a while. It looks like it is changing, do you know what I mean? There's still things to improve. We got out of jail a bit yesterday because they've got fucking tree beard up front. But apart from that, we still have to dig it out and grind it out. And even at half-time when we were behind, I still fancied us to get at least a draw, do you know what I mean? And a couple of years ago, I would have just thought we'd have just rolled over, like.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I think we would have. Matt, when you look at the game and we go behind, and we get into all that as we go along, but for you, is it a sign of progression in this team that going behind away to a hostile enough ground, a team that's scrapping for their lives, is it a sign that this team is progressing all the time and slowly but surely getting to the level that they need to be at?
Yeah, of course. Not only is it Palace where they were for quite a while a bit of a bogey team, like, but we've done that three times now this season where we've gone 1-0 down to a team that defends fairly deep and does well, and we've come back and won it 2-1. So yeah, I mean, it's the exact, like Ian said, it's the exact type of results we need to start doing if we want to get up the league table, because that's 9 points now this season, which would put us outside top four, like. So as well as the 5-2s and the 6-0s, these are just as important, like, because it's all 3 points, doesn't matter how it's done.
Yeah, 100%. And doing it different ways, I suppose, is a sign of the progression I speak about, and the way we can grind out results as well as just trashing teams when we get into a rhythm. Grizz, you were very nervous before the game yesterday, I believe. I presume come half-time that them nerves were even worse, ready?
Nervous. I'm always nervous before games. I don't know what it is. Just doesn't matter if we're sort of flying and we're playing brilliant football. It's just we give it the Bertie Big Bollocks all week, and then come sort of match day or the morning, especially. You know, it was just the nervousness was because of the early kickoff, the international week, players sort of the rhythm being broken. You know, because of the break. So it was just. It was just one of those things. And I actually tweeted just before the game, like, everyone talks about progress and how Klopp's making progress. Well, I said this is one of his biggest tests to see how far we've come, because we're notoriously bad after international break away to a lower level team. And I've said before, I quite enjoy these victories where we don't play amazing football and we actually do a Chelsea or a United where we just scrape our win. So I find these kind of victories amazingly satisfying, amazingly.
Yeah, I'm the same. I hate games after the international break, and then I hate fucking early kickoffs. I don't know what it is. Like, we get the players back probably on Thursday and we're training and everything looks like it's ready to go, and it's like we come out and it nearly takes us 45 minutes to get back into a rhythm that Klopp talks about. I worry about us every time we have more than a four-day break between games. Like, people are going on about, oh, we've City and then we've Everton and then we've City again. I'm not worried about that. There's just plenty of games in 7 days. I think we're most happiest. Ian, I'm going to come back to you. We start off all right, I think. We're on the ball most of the time. And then they get a chance, and it's Zaha, and it's that little channel down between Trent and Matip that's exposed again. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago after the United game. It didn't look like any lessons were learned, did it? Like, we're being targeted there, and we aren't doing anything to you know, stop it from happening.
No, it's frustrating, isn't it? We may actually get away with it with City, because City won't pump the ball long, so I don't think it'll really be an issue with them. But the likes of Palace, United, do you know what I mean? Your more direct sides, they will target that. I feel a bit sorry for Trent, because he's 19 years of age, and at 19, what were we doing at 19, do you know what I mean? I know Matt was still wanking into socks. This lad's playing in the Premier League week in, week out, and he does get caught out positionally, but unfortunately for him, he hasn't got VVD stood right next to him like Robertson has on the left. He's got either Matip or Lovren, and both of them are potential car crashes. Matip doesn't make as many mistakes as Lovren, but he also doesn't do as much as Lovren either. He proper goes missing. He's scared of the ball, do you know what I mean? He's like, he should be a fucking juggernaut. He's 6'2", he's big, he's strong. He's a fucking fanny. And I think that affects Trent as well. But one thing I will say about Trent, they are targeting that side. And he's getting a bit of shit off people, which is uncalled for, I think. But his quality on the ball is fucking fantastic. He's possibly the most talented passer in the team. He's 19. Do you know what I mean? So unless we learn to put one of our midfield three right in front of them and protect that avenue of the long ball at that avenue, which I'm not sure we've got a midfielder who can do that. Well, didn't chance at all. Ronaldo was playing in that position yesterday, but he's only, what, about fucking 5'9". I don't know. I think we're just going to have to come to terms with the fact that he's just going to have to man up and get on with it, because I can't see Matip helping him anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a Matip fan. Everyone knows that. And you know the reasons why. And we're going to get back onto him in a few minutes. Matt, that chance that Zaha has, though, that's hard to say Zaha has. The chance that he has, I'm going to come to you, because Loris Karius makes it a really good save. He comes out, he's big, you know, he obviously gets into Zaha's mind a little bit, and he makes the block. Impressive from Karius, I thought.
Yeah, it's good. It's another big save and another week. You all know
I love
him anyway.
Yeah, the light, I can see
he's come to me, yes. he's just doing it every week now, but he's pulling out big saves. I always thought he would. I'm so happy he's proven everyone wrong. He's still not getting the plaudits he deserves, I don't think, from a lot of the media. Maybe more he is from us and as fans, but yeah, that goes in.
From you
all the time. That goes in. It changes the game, doesn't it? It's terrible. But yeah, talking before about the penno, I know you're probably going to come to it, but I'm happy with my keeper being a brave bastard and coming for everything. He probably, looking back, he probably shouldn't have come for that one, but fuck it, if you know your keeper's coming, it's a lot easier to defend in front of it. Like, so yeah, he's just doing it every week now, and I'm well happy.
Grizz, I'll stick with you on the chance. I think Zaha should score, but I think that Karius does very well. But like we said, we go back to the United game a couple of weeks ago, and we're not learning from this channel being really exploited. And there we have United, and now we have this one earlier on in the game, and we still don't learn from it. What would you do? What would you do in this case? You can't blame Trent on his own, I don't think. What would you be asking the defenders to do if you can clearly see that this is a target for opposition teams all the time?
You know, it's funny, because do you remember the amount of shit Lovren got for trying to attack the ball when there was no need to attack it, right? Or a lot of people were saying sort of, you know, he should have sort of fouled him, right? And Ian made a great point earlier about Matip does nothing. So if you watch that, if you watch the incident again for the first goal, I mean,
no, don't concede the first goal yet. I just want to
quickly say, because it's true, Matic does nothing. And
go into a quiz.
It annoys the shit out of me about how easy it is to sort of get into that. And we're all on the Klopp bandwagon, but you know, you said, because I'm sort of coming back to your point about, you know, how would we address it? And I think at some point we have to blame Klopp for that, because he should have known the only way they're going to sort of, their main strength will be Zaha and Benteke targeting Matip and Trent on that side. You know, from a basic point of view, where you asked what would you do, from a basic point of view, you double up. You put a shield in front of him, and that's a basic layman sort of football manual, from a football manual. You know, you double up, you put a man in front, and you make sure that your centre-back is tight on him. And then you also make sure your Vivid centre-back, right, is aware that he could win it.
Did he just call Van Dijk Vivid?
It's shorthand, man. We haven't got time to go through his letters and names, right? Full name. All right? So these are basic layman's sort of strategies that you put into place. It was so easy. And we didn't learn from that first, as you said, from the Zaha chance where Karius makes a fluky save. We just didn't learn from it.
Palace are shite. Well, we shouldn't be sticking a man, like three men back. Palace. Our midfield should be looking at attacking, not thinking about defending.
It's three men for two, Gav, Matt.
But they're absolute shite.
It's Trent covering.
I'm glad Klopp doesn't have that mentality, you know.
It's Trent covering. Hendo as your DM sort of shielding, and your Matip or your Vivid marking. So it's three marking two. That's not over.
He's a prick, isn't he?
That's not over defensive. That's basic common sense. That's not being defensive, Matt. It's just basic common sense. You always have a
Palace
spare man.
Shite and Benteke's shite. Why are we sticking two people on him?
The thing for me.
Well, he wins that header and then he causes havoc because that's all he's good at.
They only scored a penalty. It was only a penalty. Like,
you didn't see the
game.
He didn't cause any other
trouble.
They did. Oh yes, they did.
Right. Well, look. I'll tell you what. The thing for me is when I looked at the Palace team yesterday. They had a good few players back from injury. Like, going back a couple of weeks ago, I think four or five of them weren't even in the team. Their injury record or the amount of players out injured was unbelievable. It was ridiculous, the amount of players they had out. But they got a few players back there yesterday. But Zaha had only come back for one game, I think, before the international break. I think he scored in it. But he was still 50-50 for that game yesterday. And it was quite clear from the lineup that they were going to go at Benteke. They were going to look for him in the air, and they're going to look for Zaha off him. Zaha was never going to last the game at the pace he wants to be at, and it showed in the second half, I think. But look, let's get on to the goal. It's a carbon copy of the United goal in the build-up, although this one comes to a penalty. Ian, it's a long ball, and for me, Trent should be closer to the centre-half, if the centre-half was there. Because Matip, if you watch him, goes 10, 15 yards with Benteke. He's up Benteke's hole. And then Benteke decides to move 3 yards inside, and Matip watches him go inside and challenge for a ball with a standing still Jordan Henderson. And the ball is in that channel again. We're just not learning that lesson now, Ian. And as much as Matt would say, well, I don't want Klopp to have that thing, if we do something really simple, we cut out, let's be honest, 50 to 60% of any chances the teams are going against us.
Yeah. Do you know what? You know what our team lacks? Someone who just loves to defend. Do you know what I mean? That's his job. He can't pass. You know, we had Carragher done it for years. Mascherano done it before him. Someone who just takes joy in fucking other people's days up. Do you know what I mean? And we lack that. Henderson's better with the ball at his feet. Matip is probably better with the ball at his feet. Do you know what I mean? Trent is certainly better with the ball at his feet. So in that area there that you've just talked about, that top left position, all three players there that are involved in that, they're all footballers first and foremost. There's no Grock there. There's no one who's going to rough up Benteke or just stand in his way. Just real basic defending. Do you know what I mean? Stand on his fucking foot. Do anything. There's 100 things you can do when you're marking a fella who's bigger and stronger than you. You know what I mean? Just give him a little nudge as he jumps up. Just real, you know, like little dark arts that we don't seem to, or a lot of our players don't seem to possess. They're gonna keep attacking that area. I think when you've got two fullbacks, I like to see them tucked right in when the ball's coming long. Do you know what I mean? Be a really tight unit of four, or at least three. You know, almost like we went, for a while, we went to like three centre-backs, didn't we? When Gomez was at right-back, he'd switch and we'd go to three. I think that negates that. But then if you listen to what Matt said, he's right to a point, do you know what I mean? Was that your orange juice?
No, it wasn't his orange juice. It was the phone that he's trying to balance the gravity.
No. It was
nearly
my phone onto my...
Oh,
see, that's a...
Such a pity.
But... I don't know what I was saying now because I'm fucking numb nuts. You're
saying how right I was about Karius.
Yeah, that's right. No, we ain't saying about Karius. I was saying, in a way, I understand why Klopp doesn't change our system or whatever to against someone like Palace, because we should be more proactive against a team like that. Do you know what I mean? But in the same instance, if they weren't dog shit, they'd have scored three or four goals against us yesterday through long balls. Do you know what I mean? So Klopp, as for all his quality, and you won't find a bigger fan of him than me, he still needs to, you know what I mean? He can't be that arrogant to think, fuck you, we've got better players than you. You've still got to put something in place. But it comes down that channel, Karius makes a mistake and comes with it. He shouldn't come. If you come, you've got to get it. Doesn't get it. Clips the man. It's bollocks because Zaha's already had his shot and he's never going to catch the ball if Karius doesn't touch him anyway. But in the real laws of the game, it's a pen, isn't it?
Yeah. Gab doesn't think it is.
No, I don't. I'll get on to that now in a minute. You touched on something there, Ian, though, about, you know, or a carrier shouldn't come. And, yeah, okay, we shouldn't change our tactics for shy teams like Crystal Palace. I'm not saying change our tactics. I'm just saying, if we look at this and we say, right, okay, Palace aren't going to outplay us. They're probably not going to get it behind us. Nobody's interested in attacking Robertson and Van Dijk because they're not getting any change. So if we're sitting down and look at this, we're saying, right, what are they going to do? They're going to hit at Benteke and they're going to look probably to get Zaha in the inside left or outside left channel. That's what they're going to do. I'm not asking for a change in tactics. All I'm asking is your defender, you either goes with him and wins the ball. And if he doesn't win the ball, your fullback pulls in into nearly a centre-half position. And if the ball goes wide, it's fine, we can cover it. Or secondly, you say to the centre-half, you stay where you fucking are. If he goes 15 yards in towards the middle of that pitch, one of our centre midfielders should have the ability to turn and say, oh, hold on, he's mine, and I'm going to not win it. I'm just asking to compete, because we're constantly left with one ball from a keeper, flicked by a centre-half, and a guy is in on goal. That's the issue I have with it.
As much as it used to be slated, Lucas used to do it.
Lucas would stand on his toes and say...
Stand right in front of him, and he'd obstruct his run anyway. And Lucas was quite good in the air anyway for the size. But even if he couldn't win it, he'd break his path, do you know what I mean? So he wouldn't win it as easy. I'm not saying change the tactics. I agreed with Matt to a point, but then I also said Klopp's got to stop being arrogant as well, do you know what I mean? It's a problem that's reoccurring against these shit-dog long ball sides. So either he fixes it or keep his goals.
I think it's only a positional thing for literally for kickouts or long free kicks. I think it's just adapt to this and say, you're going to take this guy because this is where he's going to go, or you're going to take him. And if the defender comes and takes him, the defence reacts appropriately, or the defence stays where it was.
The midfielder should be on him from goal kicks, not the defender.
Yeah, but if Benteke can move 3 yards inside and get a jump on Henderson, that's from a stand and start. Because Henderson is looking going, Matip has him. And then when the ball comes, if you watch, Henderson nearly looks as if, and then realise what's going on. Matip is nowhere. When the ball's flicked on, Matip's nowhere. But look, we'll move on a little bit. There's a couple of questions coming in on Periscope about Klein and Trent and stuff like that. We will get to that because we're going to discuss City in a little bit. Matt, penalty or no penalty, what do you reckon?
Yeah, it's 100% a penalty. Takes him out.
Okay.
It's the laws of the game. I don't know how you're trying to say it isn't. I think you're fucking weird.
I am weird, but I'll explain that weirdness now in a minute. Grizz, penalty or no?
Yes, a penalty, but I wouldn't dismiss your opinion like Matt's just dismissed your opinion. I can see where you can say Zaha got there. It doesn't affect anything after that. I'm with kind of Ian where I think, yeah, it's, you have to go according to the laws of the game, so you've got to give it, but it's not... I can definitely see some refs not giving that.
And Ian, you think it's a penalty as well, 100%?
Yeah. Shit. It doesn't affect the game in any way, but if you go, you've got to get there.
There's nothing else Karius can do once he's there. You know, you can criticise the decision. Once he's there, he doesn't sort of take him out, make a movement to take him out, sort of an extra movement. It's just natural physics.
Yeah, it's a collision. Yeah. It's a collision.
It's physics.
You see, the way I looked at it was, and this is where the weirdness kicks in, right?
Go on, Gary.
I love the way Grizz is going with physics and all. It's fucking mad. Right. The ball goes through. I think Karius is right to come out for it. I think if he stays on his line, I think he gives Zaha plenty of time to score. He comes out, he makes himself big. I think he's all right coming out. I'm all right with that. If Zaha touches the ball around him with the intention of going around him and Karius makes himself big and hits him, it's a penalty all day. But my point to it is Zaha plays the ball past Karius, makes a bollocks of it, puts it about 4 yards wide, and then continues his progression into Karius while Karius is trying to make himself big and make a save. For me, I don't think it's a penalty. I think it's just a collision. But having said that, listen to yous, yeah, I can understand why it's being given, because a player's in on goal.
It's been given because it's a penalty.
No, it's, yeah, but that's your opinion, and you can't tell someone that their opinion is wrong, Matt. You know that.
But yours is wrong on this occasion.
Okay, Matt. Well, I think you're weird too.
I'd agree with that.
For me, it's not a penalty, because I think he gets a shot away, and well after the shot is hit, in real time, a collision happens. A collision happens because a keeper is not going for the player. He's trying to make himself as big as he can by jumping, and he happens to hit the player. But look, we could disagree on it all night. Quick question for you, lads. Zaha at Liverpool, what would you make of it? Yes or no? Matt?
Us to take him?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want him as the main backup to the front three, but I'd have him.
Okay. Grizz, would you have him in our squad next season, Zaha?
Oh, yeah, all day long.
Yeah.
I'd take Zaha. Yeah.
Ian?
I want better than him.
Klopp would do wonders with him.
Yeah, I think so as well. Ian?
Yeah, and I've been a big fan of him for years. I thought he was dog shit yesterday, but like you said, he's just been coming back from injury.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think he shot in the second half, Ian.
I think the more the game went on, I wanted him to stay on, if you know what I mean, because I knew Trent would carry on bombing forward, and I knew he would tire and not be able to keep up with Trent for 90 minutes. So even though we were, you know, Trent had that dodgy sort of opening half an hour or whatever, where Zaha kept nipping inside, I knew if Trent keeps his head down like he does, and the good kid that he is, and keeps, and doesn't let it affect his game, the beauty of Trent is his confidence never dips in games. He still, as Ian says, tries those passes, and he's a wonderful technician. And I knew he'd sort of cause mayhem as the game wore on, and so it proved.
So, all in agreement, we would have Zaha at Liverpool next season.
I don't think there's a better player outside the top six than Zaha. I think he's good enough. Yeah, I think he's good enough to be playing for a much bigger... He went to United too early.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely went to United.
You've got to remember, he's playing under Hodgson in a crap team with absolute no intent on sort of attacking. I mean, you can say Johan Kebab maybe is a semi sort of, you know, kebab's on my mind again, isn't it? Yeah. But you know what I mean, right? So Andy, look, I know we're going to come to Robertson later, but Andrew Townsend, we've got to give a shout out to Robertson, how he sort of Andrew Townsend's not a bad winger, but Zaha's got, no, he's not,
he is
bad.
He's a bad winger.
He's just not.
Don't you love the way he says, I know we're going to come to him later, but fuck it, I'm going to talk about it for 8 minutes anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, fuck. That's what he does.
Moving on.
I'm trying to move on for the last 5 minutes. I asked you about Zaha and you've given me a whole rundown of fucking Trent's game. So we'll leave that when we get to context. Yeah, context. Right, I want to touch on something else from the fourth half, and how do I put this? Mane, right? Let's talk about him. It's another contentious decision. He actually gets in the way of a good header from Van Dijk. It's on target. I think the keeper might get to it, and he tries to redirect it. I think he plays quite well, Mane, throughout the game before he's taken off. I think he's always alert. He looks to be going forward all the time. His confidence looks back. His touch looks better. But, Matt, we were talking about this before we came on air again, and he goes down in the box. And
yeah, he dives.
He gets a yellow card, Matt. So you've answered the question, but I'll ask it again. Was it a dive for you, or should it have been a penalty?
It's 100%. Contact doesn't equal a foul. He touches him, but he doesn't touch him enough to knock him over like that. and then he dives afterwards. I'm sound with him getting a yellow card for it and not being a penalty.
Okay. Grizz, when it comes to that decision, is it a penalty for you? Matt reckons he dives. Does he dive to show that there's being contact? What did you make of it in real time and then when you're seeing it back? Because let me tell you, Danny Murphy said on Match of the Day last night that, no, it's definitely a dive. Look at the delay. But Danny Murphy was watching this in super slow-mo, so I don't think he realises that when it's in slow-mo, that delay is a bit more. You know, the kind of thing. What did you make of it?
I think the penalty decision could have gone either way. I don't actually think the ref gets a clear view of it. If you watch it again, he actually looks to his linesman to make a decision, and the linesman, again, as per normal, only make decision against us, it seems, you know, never for us. So there is definite contact. He's in his right to feel that contact and make the most of it, as 90% of the forwards do and should. I just think he's a bit dumb with his delayed reaction and the way he does it. Right?
Do you think that's a foul, though? Do you think it's enough contact?
Yep.
Yeah. Touching someone isn't a foul.
I get you. But touching someone does no way constitute giving them a yellow card for diving, though. Because diving, the original yellow for diving was when it's pure simulation and there's no contact. Mm-hmm. I think the ref just sort of... I don't know why. If there's contact, don't give the penalty, but don't fucking give him a yellow. You're just being a knob to give him a yellow. He's just being extra.
It was the way he went down. That's why he's done it.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's Mane's fault for being...
He hasn't
again, what Ian said, not in tune, like, he's not very accustomed to the dark arts. Because someone like Ali or Kane get that penalty because they do it in such a way, dive in such a way, feel the contact. You know, it's the way he does it, I think, that sort of makes the referee think, ah, he's a dive. But there's definitely contact, and you've definitely seen them given. There's no way. Was it, who's that ref afterwards? Did anyone see a BT Sport that said no ref would have given that? Plenty of referees would have given that as a penalty.
Probably O'Leary, wasn't it? Dermot O'Leary.
Dermot Gallagher.
Jesus. I'm Simon Cowell was refereeing the match yesterday. Dermot O'Leary was on commentary.
Dermot O'Leary.
You've been on your own this Irish match.
Jesus.
Before I get Ian's thoughts on it, I'll give you mine, right? It's a penalty. And I'll tell you why. The defender goes to ground. He slides in. He goes for the ball. He doesn't hit the ball. He hits Mane. Matt, I take your point that he over-exaggerated. I don't for a minute think that it's a delayed reaction. I think he's well within his right. But I go back to United away, where Salah is put in, and he's being absolutely manhandled. And the calls after the game was, go down, go down, go down if you want the penalty. Mane can't stand there, get a kick in the ankle, and stand and point at his ankle and go, ref, he's kicked me. He's never getting a fucking penalty. That's just the way the game is. I think it's a penalty all day long, and I'm in that humour today where I want all decisions for Liverpool, but that's just the way I am. Danny Murphy talked absolute bollocks on Match of the Day last night, and then Shearer went and talked even worse bollocks. But Ian, I'll give you the last word on it. Penalty for you, yes or no?
No. If he goes down immediately after the contact, then he gets it. But he goes down in instalments, doesn't he? It is possible. Have you ever stumped your toe? It doesn't hurt for about 3 seconds. Possible that it fucking hurt him. But, nah, taking me Liverpool glasses off. Nah, he goes down too late. But Buckingham's a disgrace because you're booking him for theatrics. It's not a dive. He's gone down theatrical because he's been touched. But as for Danny Murphy and Alan Shearer, mate, you won't go far wrong with doing the exact opposite of whatever those two fucking right-said Fred Fricks say on Match of the Day. They're just dog shit.
What I couldn't get over was Danny Murphy was using a slow-mo camera to explain the delay, right? And if you watch it in real time, I don't think there's much of a delay. And then Shearer says it's a contact sport, but he's the same guy that was all about Calvert-Lewin's penalty at Anfield because there was contact. So he's talking absolute shite. I probably have got.
Mate, if he was English, they'd back it. But he's not, so they don't. You know, when Harry Kane goes down, or Dele Alli, or when Gerrard used to do it, or Rooney used to do it, they just say that they're being cute. Do you know what I mean? And they're picking up the tricks from like the foreigners who've done it for years.
They're playing the game that the foreigners have played for years.
Yeah, but now it's gone that much the other way that the English almost get a free run of doing it, and like it's Johnny Fodner is cheating. You know what I mean?
My only question to to what would be if you take Salah away at United and he's getting fouled and he doesn't go down, he doesn't get a penalty. Mane gets fouled for me yesterday and he's fouled. And listen, if he goes down immediately, we're all sitting here going, or immediately, as people like to put it, we're all saying it's a penalty because there's contact in the box and the player doesn't get the ball after going to the ground, right? So if you stand on your feet, you don't get a penalty. If you go down and you don't do it quick enough, you don't get a penalty. Where do we start giving fucking penalties here?
Wasn't a penalty then?
You know, it is a penalty, Matt, because he's in the box. The guy went to ground and goes for the ball, doesn't hit the ball and makes contact with the player.
You're thinking, you're assuming though that contact equals a foul and it doesn't.
No. Let me answer that one. For you. Contact doesn't equal foul, but contact, when you've missed a ball, gone to ground in the penalty area and you've missed the tackle, that constitutes a foul, Matt.
To me, that looked like he tapped him. He hardly touched him.
Yeah, but he's,
that's my view on it.
He catches him on a standing foot. He catches a standing foot with a sliding tackle.
If he caught him hard, he would have moved the foot. His foot didn't move, and then that's why he had to jump down.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is, what's the parameters now for penalties? Like, let's be honest with it. The contact is made there yesterday. What does Mane need to do? Does he need to stay on his feet and point it out to the referee? Or does he need to go down in a better way?
No, because it's not a penalty. Contact doesn't equal a penalty.
So what you're saying then is that player is allowed to slide in and make contact with a player and we won't give a penalty?
If he hits him with a reasonable amount of force, then
sorry, amount of force, yeah. Are we getting to physics again?
we're getting right into physics here. I just think he taps him. That's my only reason. I think he taps him. I don't think it's hard at all.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, okay. I'll take that argument. I'll still stand by it. I think it's a penalty.
Okay, take this one out, because Stephen Kingsbury's just mentioned, would VAR have given that? The fourth ref VAR. Go around one by one. Would VAR have given that?
I've seen it, and I still don't think it's penal.
I've seen that, and I do.
It depends on the fourth, whoever the fourth referee is. If it's that fucking...
Simon Cowell.
if fucking... You know what I mean? If Dermot O'Leary's the fourth referee, he'll say no. It was just a weird one. It wasn't cut and dried either way. Do you know what I mean? To book him was very harsh, I thought.
I think 75% of referees give that on VAR.
But you see, the thing is, Ian, yeah, if he goes...
Because you know why, Gav? They look at contact.
Because if he's gone down in the box and we're all saying it's delayed, and or a few of us are saying it's delayed and theatrical, it's either... You know what I mean? It's a penalty or he's acting the bollocks, one or the other. So he is acting it and, you know, trying to get himself... He's simulating. But it's not simulation. There's contact, so it's not simulation in my book. But look, I'll move on. We go in at half-time and we're 1-0 down. And I thought there was a massive change to Liverpool in the second half. And the biggest one for me was Trent. Had a tough time against Zaha, but I think Trent... For me, was under the instruction, you need to get forward or forward. You need to get this fella and you need to push him right back up the pitch and we'll deal with that in behind you. Grizz, were you happy with the start we made in the second half? Because we looked at way more intense. Our passing looked a lot sharper and especially our fullbacks were further up the pitch and pinning them in. Were you confident then when you seen this going on? I know we scored early in the second half, but were you confident with that as we started out second half?
Definitely. You could see the change in tempo in our passing. The intent was there. In the first half, you know, the early fixture, we couldn't get going. Our actual physical levels seemed a bit down. You know, our normal high-octane levels. It wasn't the same. I thought James Milner played a big part in that second half. I thought James Milner really, really was significant in the improvement in the second half. Because even though he hasn't got maybe the physical attributes that some others have, he's got a very astute, clever football brain. And I think he made a very big difference in that second half. Also, I know Mane had a nod type game, but that was, for me, Mane coming back to his best. And as you said, Robertson and Trent, it looked like they were sort of 10-20 yards pushed on further forward. And I think that comes with sort of their team tiring as well, because even though we weren't hurting them, we did keep the ball for quite a bit of period, even in that first half. And as you know, well, as maybe you don't know, but chasing a football rather than having possession of it tires you out. And, you know, we do tend to grow into games. We do tend to get stronger and fitter because our fitness levels are, you know, we're far fitter than, so Matt's mate tells us that the team is far fitter than most teams. And I knew we were going to come strong. So that second half tempo, it totally changed the game. I knew once we get that equaliser earlier on, we could go and push on for the winner. That's exactly what happened.
I was happy with the tempo at the start of the second half. I will caveat that way. I thought the midfield was atrocious. I thought there was no drive in the midfield. I thought we were very, although the passing improved, I thought we were static at times. And there was nobody really pushing it to get us where we needed to be in the game and imposing themselves on the game. But Matt, in fairness, I'm probably contradicting myself a little bit because Milner is the main man for this equaliser. He managed to get himself in around the box, a nice interchange with Firmino, and it's a good ball and a good finish by Mane. It was a great time to get that goal, wasn't it? We didn't let them settle for 15, 20 minutes of the second half where it starts to get a bit desperate. We really got on it and made sure we got ourselves back in the game as quick as possible.
Yeah, it's what we had to do, isn't it? Whenever you're pressuring a team like that, you need to make it count. Mane's been quietly brilliant since January, I think. He's been absolutely fantastic. I was just adding his goals up then. He's got 8 goals since January. That's really unbelievable. Yeah. I'm made off of him because he was getting shit and I thought he was just unwarranted. And I think it was just because we had Salah doing so well, he's kind of been overlooked a bit. But yeah, I made up he's got another one. Jimmy Milner, yeah, he will always have that in him to get into them situations and help out. But just one assist doesn't make a good game. And our midfield have been bad for a while now. It's a big worry. We need to, I know Kaiser's going to do it, come in the summer and help improve it, but we need to make a couple more signings than just him. Because, it's now the worst part of our team, our midfield. And it's been pretty stagnant for weeks. There's a bunch of lads there who are big lads. They run around, they get about, but there's just no forward drive. There's no Coutinho. There's no nice little passing or anything like that. Genie's not doing it anymore. Chan's off the boil. Hendo and Milner are. We know what they are. So the midfield's a big worry for me.
Yeah, it's a worry for me too. I think it's I know Jan is staying because you keep telling me, but I think when he goes, we'll still need 2 or 3. Ian, I know you're nodding your head there going, there's no way he stays. I'm fully on board with you with that.
It's done.
It's done. Ian, let's get on to touch on this goal a bit more. The thing that impressed me most about it was the interchange was good with Firmino and Milner, but I love the way Mane, who's meant to be left side of that tree, and all of a sudden he's literally centre forward, and it's a proper centre forward finish. And as Matt said, you can't argue with that guy's form since January. And probably the only blight on the season, in fairness to him, is the Everton thing where he didn't pass it. For me, I think that was blown out of all proportion and has kind of clouded people's judgment of him this season, along with Salah, obviously.
I mean, the goal's a bit of a blur to me. I will caveat that by saying I'd only had one okay all day and I was feeling really lightheaded during the game. So I weren't even hungover or nothing. I think I'm just starved of calories. But, yeah, Milner does well. Mane gets across and he finishes it like a striker. I'll go as far to say I think Mane's playing the best football of his Liverpool career right now. He come through a bit of a tricky patch where his second touch was a tackle. Do you know what I mean? But I think he's been outstanding. Against Watford, he didn't get hardly any credit because of the goals from Salah. I thought Mane was world-class against Watford, but he was easily our most dangerous attacking player yesterday. He's always got it in him to be fucking a bit of a nut job, hasn't he? He's liable, Mane, to kick it in the nuts as he is to score a 25-yard header. Do you mean he's got that unpredictability about him? But, yeah, I think he's playing the best football since he's been at Liverpool. And anyone who says he isn't, I just compared him too much to the freak we've got on near the wing.
Yeah, I think he has been overshadowed by him. And he had a great season last season because Mane, because of the pace he had, and we looked a bit one-paced before we signed him, and he just brought this massive burst. And then, you know, he's missing for the African. He was injured, wasn't he? Oh no, he's gone to the African Nations. I can't remember one or the other. And
last year he went to the African.
And then he got injured at the end. Correct, yeah. And he struggled. I think he got an injury against Everton in the derby, and was missing for a good few weeks. But I nearly agree with you there, Ian. I think it's his all round game. You know, and like you said, you have Salah on the other side, who's just fucking out of this world. We get on to him now in a minute. But I think his all-round game for Mane has really, really improved.
Mate, you're right. He's developing. He's dropping into the number 10 position a lot. Yeah. And his distribution, he plays one pass yesterday with the outside of his foot, like he's just playing in the back garden with his kids. Does it go out to Trent, is it? Yeah, he's flying up the wing.
He literally stuns a ball, like you'd see, and he stuns it across the pitch.
It's unreal. And I've been saying for a while, it's hard to argue at the minute because Salah's scored in every game. But I think Mane's got a lot more to his game than Salah has. Salah has got like maybe two or three things to his game, but he's world-class. I think Mane could drop into a different position later on in his career and play a different position. I couldn't see Salah. Do you know what I mean?
I think Klopp, like we all talked about Klopp's preferred thing at Dortmund was a 4-2-3-1. And I wouldn't be surprised that this thing where you see Mane dropping into number 10, I wouldn't be surprised if you've seen him in a tree behind the striker in the future, you know, where someone else could play left and he could play centrally behind him because of that pace and that drive he has. And he just looks like he's developing that sort of game where he's not using his pace as much, but he is using his intelligence. And I suppose that burst over 5-10 yards, that gets him away.
He's not as good a finisher as Salah. That's the thing.
Mm.
Salah's got more of a striker's instinct, but Mane's got everything else. I think he's a better footballer than Salah. That makes sense.
Yeah, I know. I do know what you're saying because we've had this discussion before, and I do know what you're saying. But like, if you look at Salah when he started, like if you go back to when he played for Bale, Chelsea, Fiorentina, and then all of a sudden at Roma, he explodes into this player that looks like he's learning how to be a centre forward while playing out wide. If that makes sense to you. And sure, look, if he can do that, Mane can easily do it from a wide position coming in centrally and being able to open teams up and again using that pace that through the middle where you can get away from players and the whole pitch opens up for you. Matt, the game goes on. We have a bit of a tricky period where we give Benteke two chances, and they're all our own doing. The first one is Milner hitting a very loose pass into the centre of the park. And the second one, surprisingly, is Van Dijk trying to be a little bit too cute when he's literally the last man. But first of all, how the fuck do we get 30 million back for Benteke? That's my first question to you, man. And second of all, let's skip straight to this goal. First question, how did we get 30 million for Benteke? And second of all, how the fuck did Mane stay on the pitch for just picking the ball up because he wasn't happy that he didn't get a free? So I'll give you them two questions first.
Well, first of all, it's because Michael Edwards is a director of football extraordinaire.
Laptop genius.
And a great person in his air-conditioned offices.
Yeah.
We just robbed him, didn't we? Fucking absolute bastards. 30 million for him. We were really lucky he was shite yesterday. Because he can't. We've seen him against us. He's ruined us in the past. So we were lucky about how shagged they were. What's your second question?
How did he not get sent off, Mane? Because it was obvious he should have been because he was whipped about fucking 20 seconds later.
I think the refs had a little look at half time and thought I was really harsh on that dive. I'm not going to give him a second one. Now, do you know what? With situations like that, I know it's a yellow, but you kind of have to use your judgment a little bit because sending him off for that is really harsh. For them two yellows, if he was to go, that would be really harsh. So I think the ref's actually done something good there and used his better judgment and said, I'm not going to give him it. I'll just have a word with him. And it was the right thing to do, I believe. I don't think he should have gone.
Chris, Mane thinks he should have a free, goes down, picks the ball up and says, no, fuck that. That's air free, and then realises it's not. There had to be a huge sigh of relief on the Liverpool bench because they literally went, Right, we got away with that. Get him off the fucking pitch before anything else fucking happens. Because I think, literally, if he'd have looked sideways at a player after that, he was getting the red, wasn't he?
And that's all because all that happened because the referee was crap. Even that decision went our way. Even though it went our way, it was... But he didn't give it because he's a crap referee.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I don't think he should have given the first one, sort of for the first yellow, it was just a... Those two incidents, if they constituted a red card, it probably would have been one of the worst red cards ever given. But But yeah, I just think we were lucky that the referee was crap. They didn't give that decision, because any other referee sort of gives that gesture and gives a yellow card, because like that's a blatant yellow card. Do you like my gestures? The way I'm describing it with visual sort of hand,
So like the referee was listening tomorrow. The download will really appreciate that.
Oh, but you know what I mean? The referee would have said, look, you've picked up the ball, it's a blatant yellow. And I expected that. And I think Klopp alluded to it in his press conference where he said, I thought he's gone. I thought that's a second yellow card. But thank fuck, we had a shit referee who didn't get it.
Right. I'm going to give Ian full shout on Mo Salah. And a little mention for Andy Robertson where we're at. The goal comes, I think it's Chamberlain breaks down the inside right, clips it across. Great ball back across from Robertson, nice and controlled. And Salah decides, I'll make sure of this, takes a touch when everything else is manic around him and slots it away, and it's now 37 goals in 41 or 42 games. He's all right, Ian, isn't he?
It's not bad, is he? He's not bad. But you know what? That's all. I mean, he's in form and his confidence, and it helps that it was Sacco. See Sacco trying fucking done an army dive and tried to jump on a grenade to stop it going in. He's a fucking dog shit, honestly. But a massive shout out to Andy Robertson there. Massive. There's about maybe two or three left backs in world football who play that pass and don't swat it across. Like, with if that goes to Alberto Moreno, he is hitting that with everything he's got. Do you know what I mean? And it's probably going up over the bar. You've seen him do it 50 times. Jordi Alba smashes it. I think maybe Marcelo at Madrid and maybe one other random I can't think of would actually take the time to place that across, show some composure and place it across. I can't pick Andy Robertson up enough, me. He's fucking unreal how good he is at the minute. It comes to Salah. He doesn't, as someone who's not in form, they snatch at that with his favoured left foot as well. He doesn't, like I say, Sacco's dog shit. He turns inside and he just finishes it. He's got about 7 goals with his right foot this season. And you can clearly see that his right foot is dog shit. That's how good he is. Do you know what I mean? But it's all about Andy Robertson for me. Special shout out to the Dorito Monster's favourite player, Sacco, who is dog shit.
Yeah, I think you could claim he's at fault for both goals yesterday. He loses, I think he loses.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Oh, yeah, he does, yeah.
And then the second one, he's just put on his arse by Salah. And, like, 84 minutes in, and to have the coolness just to take that touch. And, like, yeah, we're going on about his right foot, Ian, and people have claimed that he has no right foot. Get him onto his right foot and you're fine. I think he's shown now that he's actually taking them touches in the box that gives him that extra space where he's just slotting. He's just slotting goals away now. He's not having to lash them or put any power behind them.
Someone like Mane can hit 25-yard shots with both feet. You'll never see Salah hit a 25-yard effort with his right foot. But when he's in and around the penalty area, he's composed enough to try and place it in, do you know what I mean? Or just get, he's got enough in him to get it over the line. Whereas Mane can hit with either foot from 25 yards. I don't think Salah's got it in him with his right. He'll be a bit of a swinger.
Yeah, probably is. We're talking about Salah every week, so I just want to touch on something Ian was going on there about, and it's Andy Robertson. I've seen tweets from Crystal Palace fans today saying you have to hand it to Andy Robertson. The guy is unbelievable. That's from Crystal Palace fans watching the game yesterday. How good can this fella get if he keeps going? Like, is he the sort of player you think he could be there 8, 9, 10 years because he's and continue to get better? Or are we just seeing a guy running on, not adrenaline, but he's kind of riding the crest of a wave and he might level off? What do you think?
Well, yeah, you'd think it's a purple patch like, but he seems to have all the skills. Like, he is a good player, a very good player. I think that's our left-back sorted for seasons. I don't. He's one of them where you can see him just staying with us for the next 10 years now and he'll be happy. And what better player to be doing it next to than Van Dijk or Vivd? Or whatever Grizz
Vivid.
Calls him.
Vivid, yeah.
Vivid.
He's going to call it physics next week.
So, yeah, I mean, it's perfect for him. The team's set up well. He's an attacking left-back anyway. He runs a lot. He's perfect for what we need in a full-back. We need another one of him on the right, and that will just be sorted for a long time now.
Yeah, I agree. Grizz, I want to put it to you slightly differently, a bit not about his ability, but for me, something that stands out from his passion for playing for Liverpool, his aggression. When you see the second goal go in yesterday, he's over there and he's absolutely losing his mind. He looks to me like somebody that understands his club very, very quickly. what it means to play for them, the standards you need to play for them, and he's never going to let that drop. That's my opinion on it. Do you agree?
Your opinion's spot on, son. That, I mean, Robbo epitomises us, doesn't he, as fans in a player form. I mean, the spirit, the passion he shows, even when he's celebrating. There was one game at Anfield where we won like sort of 4-5-0. I think it may have been, or we scored 4-5 goals. I think it may have been the City game, I'm not sure, where if you go back and analyse it like some geeks like me would, he's the first one to run
up. You didn't analyse 4-goal.
I did. I made notes. He's the first one to run over to every goal scorer, sort of in celebration with him. And that just—I mean—and he's playing. And some of the goals were scored, sort of, you know, from the right side as well.
So you're saying he's just a gagging?
No, who?
A gag in. Just gagging. Someone who's not welcome.
No. He's not that. You're
the gagging on this pod.
You are a gag.
Okay, if you explain
he's
like
here
that
for context, though.
If you gave context, I would have got it.
Affirmative action. He's here for affirmative action. That's what it is.
But he's brilliant. But you know, I want to go back to Ian's point about sort of any other fullback smashes that across, right? That where he lays off the goal. I actually think him at Hull smashes that. I think it's. I think even in his first sort of, if he played in the first couple of months, he smashes that across. I think the fact that he's training every day with quality like Bobby, Mane, Salah, etc., and with a lot of time being spent with Klopp coaching him as well, I think that's been instilled in him. An Acteberg, yeah. I think that's been instilled in him. So that kind of composure, it comes with loads of time on a training ground and confidence as well. And, you know, we talked about Salah, and I'm fed up talking about Salah. I don't want to talk about him anymore because let Salah carry on scoring 50 goals. But that goal, for me, was just Robertson's career, Liverpool career, epitomising just that sort of move. The composure, the confidence and skill levels he shows. You know, everyone thought he's a basic fullback. That was the term used when we were linked with him. Oh, he's just a basic fullback who runs up and down for... Hull, was it? Yeah. But he's not. He's come on leaps and bounds, and he's actually... I can't think of a better fullback in the Premier League definitely a left-back. I can't think of a better left-back that I'd take over him, and it's amazing that we got him for... Was it Stewart? We swapped him with Stewart near enough, wasn't it?
Pretty much. They yeah. paid us, we paid them. Amazing. But pretty much.
Amazing.
I back everything you all say on him. I think he's brilliant. And I was watching, I think it was an interview on LFC TV the other day with him, and they were showing little clips of him, you know, like from different angles of him during the game. And he hits Raheem Sterling a bit late, and Raheem Sterling decides to have a little push at him, and he decides to throw his shoulder back into Sterling as if to say, yeah, fuck you, I'll sort you out now in a minute. And I love that about him. There's just something about him, he just feels like a Liverpool player so early into a thing.
What Ian was saying about defenders, we don't have defenders who really enjoy defending. Robertson's one of them. You really, even though we're talking about his attacking prowess, even going backwards, Ian, don't you think? He loves defending. He loves getting stuck in, getting those tackles in. Do you know what I mean? He really likes that nasty side of the game as well. And he's a bit of a, you know, a niggly little fouler as well. I like it. Those little digs he has. I like that.
Yeah, I think he's only... Go on, Ian.
Scottish. They fucking love a scrap.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Yeah. And let's not forget, it was only about 4 or 5 years ago. He nearly quit. Yeah. He was very close to quitting the game, so he's not... You know, you get some players who come through, like United or Liverpool or Spurs, who've been pampered the whole way through. He was playing for fucking Queen of the South or someone in front of 40 people. Yeah. So that's why his attitude's bob on. I bet he fucking buzzes every morning he wakes up.
And I used to watch him then anyway.
He's yelling in Klopp's face, and he thinks, I'm fucking going to work today. And he skips there. Do you mean he's happy to be him? You can see it in his play.
Yeah, absolutely. He just looks to me like a Liverpool player very, very quickly. But look, I've only about 10, 12 minutes left. We have a few things to get through. First thing is the Fat Back 4 Challenge. Listen, we're very, very serious about this. We're trying really, really hard. Three of us are Grizz. I think Grizz fell off a massive wagon today, but we won't go into it. But £500 was our target. We're now up to £400. Let's be honest about it. £500 isn't our target. We want to go beyond £500 and well beyond it. That was our initial target. I don't know, Matt, have you got the figures for this week, or has anyone weighed themselves?
No. It's week off Easter.
So there's fucking all sorts of stuff going on. I'm eating chocolate. Matt's eating chocolate. Ian's eating chocolate. Grizz is having Easter kebabs. Grizz has exchanged...
I'm celebrating Easter, though.
Yeah, you're celebrating with
the vibes.
But look, now, genuinely, I think...
All religions that give you chocolate, basically, you know that. fucking sellout.
I weighed myself on Thursday, and I think I'm down about £11 in total. But I don't know, that's probably gone fucking way the other way, because I'm drinking since Friday. But, look, we are deadly, deadly serious about this. It's on our pinned tweet on the LFC Day Trippers timeline. Click on it. Donate whatever you can. It doesn't matter, £1, £2, anything you have, get us over that target. And when we get over that target, we're going to annoy you even more. And we're going to fucking go after you on Twitter and all sorts of social media to get donations off you. Just donate to us. And we are deadly serious, because people probably have this idea that these lads are only acting the bollocks. We're not. We're genuinely doing this. You know, Ian is on 8 calories a day. You know what I mean? It's fucking stupid. You know what I mean? Ian's on 8 calories a day. That's how much it is. Grizz is down.
I've been having serious, I'm not joking, serious mood swings, and it's because I'm fucking not eating my usual stuff. I'm
is that what Grizz is actually finding?
I can vouch for that.
But what I will say is, you know, every time the people who've donated so far have been amazing. Do you know what
Absolutely.
I mean? But every time another Mars bar in me fucking gizzard. Do you know what I mean?
That's what I was going to come to.
Because I think I'm not going to let them down. Motivation for us, fuck it is.
I know, but he's gagging in, I'm telling you.
But
no, I'm serious. Go on, Ian.
Every time there's a new donation, no matter how big, how small, it really does make you want to try harder. Do you know what I mean? It does. That's not black.
Matt, you're the one with the least to lose, aren't you? Because you're fairly fucking fit as it is. But
no, after his birthday. Listen,
I want to be serious for a second. Matt, you're probably the best to speak about this, because you are the one to lose the least. That has to lose the least. Sorry, I'll get there in the end. But genuinely, aren't the lads trying? They really are fucking trying. Like,
Grizz did for a week, and then he had a bit of a...
Oh, shut up.
No, he is. Ian's smashing it. But we are. I had a look last week. We're about £45 in total between us. We've lost.
And we've 8 weeks to go.
And there was me going to give Matt a birthday card. I just want to give Matt a birthday shout.
We've got to make it up to 100.
Yeah.
Matt, I just want to give Matt a birthday shout, everyone. It's Matt's birthday. So therefore, you know, I was going to write a card for him, but it's because he slagged me off.
It looks like that.
What, on that birthday? On the card?
That's new here.
Yeah, I was going to...
Crack on.
I was going to fill it out, but then I realised... You know,
fucking mute him, the cunt.
I'm just gonna give it to my next door neighbour now. Fucking.
Well, you're definitely not gonna fucking post it, because you're not able to post anything. We're £46 down. We've 54 left, or 55 left to beat us. So over 8 weeks, what's that?
Gav's gone.
Yeah, you froze.
Am I still there? Am I?
Yeah, you thought you'd cut Grizz off and cut yourself by accident.
No, but I'd say we need about £7 a week between us for 8 weeks now, and we will get past that. But genuinely, people, just if you can donate, no matter how small or how, you know, any donation is taken, and it will get us, and it's for a great cause, all the hate. And we're genuinely about this, and we keep going on about it every week until we're done. The night of the Champions League final, I think, is our last night, and if we get over £100 in Liverpool or in Kiev, it's all going to go off. But look,
simple. If you don't care, or you don't love kids, or you want kids to die, don't give any.
Yeah, that's that. You see, we are getting to that stage where we're going to do stuff like that. Where we're going to go, do you want kids to die? Do you know what I mean? It's going to be like, you know, the ads you see on the telly late at night. It's going to be one of those. But lads, two things I want to finish off with. I want you to pick me a team for City on Wednesday, and I want you to give me a prediction for City on Wednesday. Ian, I'll come to you first on that. Give me a team and give me a prediction for the first leg, please.
The team would be Lovren in for Matip and the same back four. People calling for Klein. you don't start Klein after nearly a year out against Man City, first game in the Champions League. And like I said earlier, Trent's problem isn't with his defending, it's with his positioning, so I think he'll do okay. Midfield. Or I don't think our midfield the other day were very proactive, but I think they're perfect to play against Man City because Man City will come right at us. So is Chan back? Is Chan fit?
I'm going to say that Chan is fit. Just go with it. Go with the fact
if,
that fit,
if okay? Chan's fit, I'd go with Chan, Henderson and Wijnaldum.
Okay, and the front three.
Wijnaldum does well at home, yeah, and the front three. I'm predicting I would suck you off right now for a 2-goal lead. So 3-1, because they will score.
There you are, lads. If any of you can guarantee a 2-goal lead, Ian is available.
I said I'd suck you off. I'm not going around Twitter. I'm not one of them.
Yeah, I know, but when you say you're sucking you off, you're talking to thousands of people. You know what I mean?
I'll suck you all off in the Champions League. I'm not asked.
Oh, he doesn't give a fuck anymore.
I've got time for that.
Do you disagree with any of Ian's team?
Yeah, I start Mignolet in goal. I'd pick the exact team Ian's just picked. There's not a chance I even consider Klein. It's a mad shout.
Yeah.
Trent stays in. midfield. Yeah, Emre, Genie, Hendo for me. So, yeah, that's what Ian said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, stick with that. We're smashing them 2-0.
Okay. Grizz, are you disagreeing with any of that team? And just give me the team, Grizz.
No, the Trent shouts are mad. So, Klein shouts are mad. Trent stays in. I think if Chan is fit, then it's Hendo, Chan and Ox, not Ginny, and the front three for me.
And your prediction?
Prediction 2-2 to us.
2-2 to us, as usual. Grizz, firmly on that fence. For me, yeah. Carrius in goal, I think the fat back four. We need a big fat fuck.
Imagine me trying to catch fucking Sané down the left.
Yeah, I know, but you'd probably beat the other prick in the air instead of fucking Matip going off on a wander. The back four, yeah, the same. I would go with Jan Henderson and Oxlade-Chamberlain. I think Wijnaldum is horribly out of form.
Same as me, Gav.
Yeah, and I go with the front three. And my prediction for Wednesday night is 2-1 Liverpool. Last thing, lads. Random topic. Now, you've all seen this earlier. It's random. It's going to come up on people's screens now. Basically, it's all about pills. Pick two pills. So here they are. I'll list them out for people that are going to listen on the podcast. Pill one, look 15 years younger. Pill two, read minds for 3 days. Pill 3, forget about your ex. Pill 4, eat without gaining weight.
I know what he's going to say.
They sound very selected.
Pill 5,
selected add, pills, yeah?
Add 5 centimetres to your height. Add pill 6.
Pill 6 centimetres.
Pill 6, become super strong. Pill 7, have a lot of money. Pill 8, always feel happy. Or pill 9, get millions of followers. You have to pick two of them. Grizz, I'm going to come to you first. What two are you picking?
Okay, so read minds. I can read your minds all day long. I don't need a pill for that.
Don't go through the whole lot. Just say.
I'm just thinking. Hold on. Followers, millions of followers. Followers don't interest me.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Mr. ITK.
Sell one of your kids for another fucking follower, you.
If that said billions of followers, you would have went for it. Millions.
See, for me, it's gone off screen now. Shit, bring it back, someone.
Okay, I'll bring it back
for me,
to you.
For me, it seems like, look.
What I'll do is I'll bring it onto the screen until we're finished talking about it.
It's obvious for me, it seems like the one that says, the pill that lets you eat what you want, when you want, without getting... putting on weight. I think that's a dream pill for me. And be happy. There's nothing better than being happy. I think I'd go for being happy pill. Although okay. Max offered me happy pills in the past, but I'm not talking about them once. But yeah, I think that one and the
that
eating
was
one
without losing weight. Me.
The eating without losing putting on weight.
Okay. No worries. Matt, what two are you going for?
I would I'm a shallow bastard, so yeah. I would go with loads of followers.
Yep.
100%.
And I know you're going to pick the 5 centimetre, so I'm going to do it. So you're still not closer to me than you were before. I'm
love it.
5 centimetres.
Love it. Okay, Ian, what do you got for?
I don't need extra height. I think if you're happy, you don't really need money anyway, because you're happy anyway, aren't you? So I would go with being happy, which is what, number 8? I haven't got them in front of me.
I've just got
a memory. Number 8. And I would say just scran whatever I want, because I'm fucking running on oatcakes at the minute. So that's what I'd be all right. That's what I'd do.
Okay, I'm not going for the 5 centimetres of height. No, because you know what? We get great laughing over, so I'm not fucking doing it. So I would go with, I want loads of money, and I want to eat without gaining weight. It's as simple as that. A couple of people are coming in there with their own things. People saying 7 and 8. Loads of money and be happy. Yeah, I suppose. Not too bad.
I think if you're really happy, you don't need money anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ian with the philosophical one. Philosophical,
if you have
one,
money, you're already happy.
If I could have five extra centimetres on another part of my body, I'd have probably picked that. But
your arms,
like your ears.
You know what I mean? It's because of a giver.
Your shoulders to support that head.
Just one ear longer.
Three centimetres on one ear and two on the other. Oh, fuck God. Right, listen, where are we going? Yeah, 1 hour and 10 minutes. I think we leave it at that. Lads, thanks a million for joining me. Matt, Grizz, Ian, I've been Gav. That's been the Fatback 4. We'll be back next week. Who have we got? Oh, yeah, we'll be talking about the fourth leg of City, and we have, Everton, haven't we? So, yeah, it should be a good one.
Massive week.
As I said before, get on there. Steve-O and Jimmy are also doing our weight loss challenge, but they're celebrating Easter as well. So we'll all be back next week with our weights and our updates, and hopefully we're up from that 46 pounds and closing in on 50 and beyond. But as we said, pin tweet on the Day Trippers feed. Click on it, donate what you can. That's the most important thing to us. I've been doing all this, to be honest with you. So get the donations in. Keep an eye out for us on Twitter during the week. You know all our handles, they're all on that poster there at the bottom of the screen. Get involved with us, talk to us. We'll try not to insult you or abuse you. We'll try really hard at that as well. And yeah, that's been us. That's been the Fatback 4. We'll talk to you next week. Over and out.